In the hamlet of Cana, one of several villages in Galilee, a Jewish celebration of marital union is taking place. On the third day of the week-long affair, the celebrators had run out of wine. But Mary, a peasant girl of tanned skin and raven hair, called upon her son Jesus to help replenish the vats that had run dry. When she spoke, she did so with marginal insistence in her tone. "They have no more wine."
"Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come."
With a warm smile, Mary knew that she had made her point. "Your time is now." After laying a calloused hand on Jesus' forearm and giving it a slight squeeze, she turned to the servants and said,
"Do whatever he tells you."
People were milling about the chamber that was made up of stone walls the color of desert sand and a dirt floor. A round fire pit marked the room's center, with a goat roasting over the flames, the beast having been skinned, with its meat having a greasy sheen to it. Crossing the room and moving past the fire pit with a clay cup, Jesus came upon 6 30-gallon jugs by the entryway. These clay pitchers were used by guests to cleanse themselves in a ceremonial washing before they entered the chamber. When Jesus took inventory of these containers, he noted that the water in each vessel was filthy with floating sediment, this being indicative of Cana's spiritual dryness, he considered, when wine was a common symbol of God's bounty and spiritual joy. Curling the fingers of his hand over the rim of the vessel, Jesus closed his eyes and spoke so softly that he appeared to be mouthing his words. He did this with each vessel and blessed each one separately, with the act not going unnoticed by John, who would later memorialize the experience in his version of the gospel that would mark the first of Jesus' miracles and the beginning of his public ministry. With his clay goblet, Jesus dipped it into the clay container and filled the cup. What had once been water had now been turned into wine of the finest quality. And in the eyes of John, this was a true indicator that pointed to Jesus' divinity. Having told the master servant that he could now serve the guests from the jugs, Jesus went to John and proffered him the cup that was a simple molding of hardened clay and nondescript. There were no fancy features or imaginative designs on the misshapen goblet. It wasn't gemmed with precious stones. It was just a clay cup. When Jesus smiled, a feeling of warmth eclipsed John. And then, as Jesus pointed to the cup in John's hand, he said, "What you hold is the first of many wonders, John. Use this moment to bring together my disciples, for they shall follow me as I spread the word of my Father throughout the lands. But by this miraculous sign, I have revealed my glory to you and them as the Son of God, so they will put their faith in him." On the seventh day, as the wedding ended, John, who would bring into line the apostles to follow Jesus after the miracle of Cana, kept the cup as something gifted to him by Jesus as the instrument of his first true miracle of turning water into wine. Over the years, the cup had been protected by John's descendants until it ended up in the hands of the Knights Templar, who assured them that the cup would be added to their trove and well guarded. Then, in 1307, as Jacques de Molay, the final Grand Master of the Knights Templar, was being burned alive at the stake for heresy, the cup, along with the Templar treasure, would disappear.